The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. As Jesus and his disciples begin to attract attention, Mark recalls the story of John the Baptist's martyrdom. Like John, Jesus and his disciples will also suffer at the hands of those opposed to the gospel of salvation. I begin reading at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For King Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, "Ask for me whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for his guest, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took the body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. I brought something with me. Oh, here comes a few more. We'll wait for them. Got everybody on one side down here. All right. Well, I brought something with me this morning. What is that? It's soap. What do you do with soap? You clean yourself with it. All right. I want you to do something this morning. I want you to look at that bar of soap. Can everybody see it? Can y'all see the bar of soap? Okay. Are y'all clean now? Huh? Are y'all clean? By looking at that bar of soap, did that make you clean? No, it didn't make you clean. All right. I want y'all to do something else. Smell the soap this morning. You smell it? Can y'all smell it? Smell that soap? All right. Now are you clean?
No.
No, that didn't help either? All right. Well, let's try something else. How about if we just toss it up, play catch with it? All right. Now are we cleaner?
No.
Still didn't work. I know what to do. I know how to make us clean. How about if we eat it?
No.
No? That's not going to do it either? So what do you do with the soap to make it cleaner? You wash yourself with it, right? You get some water and you wash your hands or you wash your body and you get yourself all clean, right? Get it lathered up. All right. If you're going to use soap to get yourself clean, you got to use it in the right way, right? Okay. St. Paul writes in his letter today that we read in the scripture today that God has given us a number of gifts, things that we can use to help serve God. And it's wonderful to have those things, that God gives each one of us special things that we can do well. Maybe some of you can run really fast, okay? But what if you just sat on the couch all day and you said, I can run really fast. Does that help at all? No, you have to be able to get out and go run. Or what if God gave you the ability to be able to speak well, to have people understand, but you kept your mouth shut all day and didn't say a thing about Jesus? Does that help at all? Does that spiritual gift doesn't work then, does it, in you? Or what if you have the gift to make people laugh, but you're sad all day? Does that help? No, that doesn't help either. You have to use what God has given you to make that gift work, to make it do good. St. Paul tells us that we are made so that we can give God good pleasure, so that we can make God happy. And if we don't use the things that God gives us, then they're really no good to anybody. Okay? And so we're asked to serve God always. Okay. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have made us clean through Jesus Christ. Help us to use the gifts that you have given to us to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go sit.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems that any time of the moment, any moment that we live in our lives, there's always some turmoil going around somewhere in the world. I mean, you pick up a newspaper or you look on the news on the internet or turn on the TV, there's always some tragedy going on, some war, some conflict, some horrendous act of violence that has happened. And that has been the way it has been for, I guess, since the time of the Garden of Eden. Think about it. If we go back just a little ways to the 1960s of everything that was going on then with the war protests, the Vietnam War was going on. There were protests everywhere. There was civil rights riots. There was police brutality chasing down the crowds. There were assassinations of John F. Kennedy, of Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. The world was in a turmoil at that time. All these things going on, and people were asking, what in the world are we coming to? Or think about the 1970s. Vietnam War was still hanging on. The vets were coming home, and the ill treatment that they received coming home of the oil embargo, of skyrocketing prices, of skyrocketing interest rates. The economy was all over the place. Watergate happened during that time, and any credibility that the government seemed to have, they lost. Things were rough in the 70s, and people were starting to ask, what in the world are we coming to? Or think about the 1980s. I know I was on internship during the 1980s, and it seemed to me the high school kids during that time had a fatalistic attitude that there was not going to be any future. It was right in there was a lot of tensions in the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, and they didn't think there was any need to plan for the future. There was no need to be thinking about a husband and wife. There was no need to be thinking about going to college or learning a trade or a skill, because there wasn't going to be a future. Russia was going to send off their nuclear bombs. U.S. was going to send off its nuclear bombs, and the whole world was going to blow up. There would be no future. And people were asking, what in the world are we coming to? Or you hit the 1990s, and things once again were in a turmoil. It was the age of the beginning of technology, and computers were coming about. And with all the advances that were coming about with those, many people in their jobs were being displaced because many of the jobs were becoming obsolete. Computers were taking over. Things were in a turmoil politically as well. And people were asking, what in the world are we coming to? Or you think about after the year 2000 then, of the turmoil that we have been in through with this. I know just about everybody has that picture in their mind of that video
of the jets flying into the Twin Towers in New York City. And all of the subsequent terrorist attacks that have gone on, the rise of ISIS, again, the political turmoil, the economic downturn, all this taking place, and people are asking, what in the world are we coming to? We have questions. There's things that are always seem to be happening. It seems like our world's constantly in turmoil, and so people ask, why am I even here? What's my purpose here in this life? Or if you can ask it in a different way, what's the meaning of life? Why are we here at all? I think St. Paul addresses that in his second, in our second lesson today, his letter to the Ephesians. Paul gives us a reason why we exist. He gives us that purpose of life, or even the meaning of life. He says that God has chosen us. We have a purpose. God has given us that purpose. He has chosen us. And he's chosen us in different ways. First, he has chosen us out of love. As it says here in verse 4, just as he chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He chose us. He made us for his good pleasure. And if you go back to that story of creation, that after God had created everything, he looked around and then he made people. He made people for his good pleasure, to have companionship, to be in relationship with him. And so we have a purpose. He chose us in love because he wanted us. It was God's choice to have people here on this earth. Paul also writes here that he chose us through adoption, by adoption through Jesus Christ. As you know the stories in the Old Testament, God chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation, to be the father of his chosen people. And throughout the years, the Israelites have believed that they are God's chosen people. Many times they didn't act like it, and I think God was ready to start all over again, but they were God's chosen people. So what about everybody else? What about the Gentiles? What about us who are not of Jewish descent? God sent his son into the world to save everybody, to save us, to bring us into his kingdom, to be called children of God, that we are his chosen people too. He chose us to be his children by adoption through Jesus Christ. Christ came also for the Jews. He also came for those Israelites to redeem them as well. Because you've got to remember, Jesus was a Jew and so were his other disciples and most of his followers while he walked this earth. They were Jewish. God came, sent his son into the world to save all people. He chose us. And God also chose us to be a part of his plan. To be a part of help ushering in that kingdom of God. To be advocates for his son Jesus Christ. To be faithful in our witness of the word. God chose us to be a part of his plan. And that plan lays out that we need to be in relationship. We need to be in relationship with God. We need to be in relationship with each other. And we need to be in relationship with his creation. Going back to that creation account, God, if you remember, God created the heavens and the earth, and each day, when after he created things, he looked back and he said, it is good. And on that last day, when he created Adam and Eve, he looks back and he says, it is very good. God created everything for his good pleasure. And we need to be in relationship with that creation. We're a part of creation. We live here. This is our home. At this time, this is our home. And we need to live in relationship to it. God created everything good. But what do we do after we get kicked out of the Garden of Eden? We start trashing things. God, in that creation story, says, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every creeping thing on the land of the earth. That word dominion doesn't mean to use it however you want to, whenever you want, however you want to do it. Dominion means that you are able to use this creation, that you are a part of it. You're able to use that, but at the same time, you take care of it. You're responsible for it. It comes down to stewardship. What do we do with the things that belong to God? How do we care for those things that belong to God? And I know many of you are involved in agriculture. You have your farms and your ranches, and you know that if you tear that place apart, if you overgraze it, if you let things go to pot, it's not going to be any good for your children or for your grandchildren. It'll take years to recover once again. And so you want to take care of it. You want to tend it. You want to make the place better than when you received it. And that goes for the rest of us too then, whether it's your own front yard, your backyard, or just where you live. We want to leave this world in a better way than what we gained it. I know in the past we've been terrible with a lot of this. People have used the earth simply as their dumping ground, as their pit. I remember as a child we used to take family vacations, and one time we went to up north, and we actually crossed Lake Michigan, and this was back in the 1960s. And what I remember from that trip is looking down in the water and seeing how nasty it was. Also how nasty it smelled, and then seeing thousands upon thousands of fish dead floating on the top of the water. That whole lake was a sewer, basically. It was polluted to the point where nothing could live within it. It was a dead lake. Now, over the years, it has been cleaned up, and so we can change. I remember, too, another trip to the Houston Ship Channel and looking at that water and how it stunk and how bad it looked. And shortly after that, I remember the news stories that the Houston Ship Channel actually caught fire. The water caught fire because of all the oil and the chemicals and the pollution that were in that water. We can change. We can do things that are different. I know as a congregation, we help to take care of a small piece of our community as far as being in relationship with that, being in relationship with creation. We have adopted 2 miles of Highway 240, and four times a year we go out there and we pick up the trash that's out on the highway. The trash comes from the back ends of pickup trucks. The trash just simply blows out, or from other trucks, from stuff that is not secured on the back of the trucks. Are there some people who can't wait 5 minutes to get home and put their trash in the trash can? They just simply toss it out the window. And it becomes dangerous out there on the highways with broken glass and plastic flying. It's detrimental to the livestock. It's detrimental to the wildlife. It's not taking care of God's creation. So the congregation has adopted that small piece of our highways here in town. Many of you can do all sorts of things to get in relationship with the creation, to go back to what God has in store for us, the way that God has created us to be. God's also created us to be in relationship with one another. Anytime you pick up a newspaper, look at a news story on the internet, or look at TV, there's always some kind of tragedy, something going on, whether it's a war, a terrorist attack, abortion, euthanasia, violent crimes, all sorts of things going on in this world where we tear each other up. We're always fighting with one another. Somebody's always mad at somebody else or wants something that somebody has. And part of us, as being the chosen people of God, as being the chosen children adopted by God, is to be a part of that plan that God has chosen us for, to help restore these relationships. And it is important to bring that word of God to people so they can understand this is not the way life is supposed to be. We're not supposed to beat each other up. We're not supposed to hate each other. But we're supposed to be in relationship with one another. Going back to that creation story, when God created man, he said it's not good for man to be alone, and so he created woman. He intended us to live in community, to be a family, to start families, to live together in community, in peace, in relationship with one another. God has also called us then too to be in relationship with Him, to return to God. And this is where the key of all of it comes from, is that we need to remember that God is God and God created us. God chose us to be His children for His good pleasure, to be in relationship with Him. He wanted us, and He wanted us to serve Him, to worship Him. And that's why we are here. That is the meaning of life, to remember that God is God, and we are here for His good pleasure. And I think that's where we mess up. That's where we forget, because we want to be our own God. I want to be my own God. I want other people to serve me. If I see something that my neighbor has and I want it, I can take it. Or if I want to throw trash out on the highway, I can. Because I can do what I want to do. I want to be my own God. We need to remember, God has chosen us to be in relationship with Him, to be in relationship with each other, and to be in relationship with creation. To remember that He has chosen us out of love. He has chosen us to be His adopted children through Jesus Christ. And He has chosen us to be a part of His plan. God blesses us. He has given us His gifts so that we can be a part of that plan and do His will. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.